On the Podcast, brought to you by onthepod.net, giving you one feature and one song straight from my iPod, highlighting cool stuff to listen to that I went out and found so you don't have to. Welcome back, everybody, to On the Podcast, episode number 4, for the last week in January 2008. You know, they say that life is something that happens while you're busy making plans, and this episode exemplifies that. I had the next episode of On the Podcast all laid out in my head. I knew what I was going to talk about and what songs I was going to play. And then this week, technology turned against me and bricked my iPod and killed my laptop. So I spent a couple of days at the Apple store trying to get that all worked out. In the meantime, though, while I was at work and trying not to lose my ever-loving mind, I logged onto my old Pandora account and set up a brand new station. The first song that hit me from that brand new station was one that I had fallen in love with a long time ago. I just hadn't listened to the track in a while, and it just struck me like it had the very first time that I heard it. I took it upon myself to drop the guy an email, and I just about fell out of my chair yesterday when he actually replied and said, "Sure, go ahead, use the track." So, this week, we're going to be talking about an audiobook that I did manage to finish once I unbricked my iPod, and one of my favorite guitar players of all time. Stay tuned, I'm going to hit you with a promo, and we'll be right back to talk about the audiobook.
Hello, this is Mike Bennett, author of One Among the Sleepless, inviting you to enter the Hall of Mirrors, my new podcast short story collection, Stories of Horror, the Grotesque, and People in Unusual Circumstances. hallofmirrors.podshow.com.
So, from that little music clip, you're either rolling your eyes because you know what I'm going to talk about, you still have no idea what I'm going to talk about, and you think that I'm a really good composer, or, like me, you're actually a fan of Halo. Halo. What's Halo? Well, if you've been living under a rock since Microsoft launched the Xbox, Halo is probably the most successful video game ever made. Now I know that you're thinking to yourself, but I thought you said you're going to be talking about an audiobook. Well, I am. Halo has spawned everything from action figures to comic books to novels, of which I've either read or listened to all 5 of them, because I like novels based on video games, I guess. Or at least Halo. And I know it's put out by the evil overlords in Redmond, but you can't deny when something's good. And Halo's good. You don't need me to sell it, and I'm not here to talk about it, but you know, I grew up with Star Wars, and those movies would just engulf my imagination for all of my childhood, and actually most of my life. I was one of those guys who would piss people off because when those movies came on the TV, I was the guy who would be there saying the next line before it was said on screen. It was just something that stuck with me. And since then, I've had friends where Star Trek has done the same for them. Buffy and Angel and Firefly do that for other people. Those never really hit me quite as hard, but the one thing that did since then has been Halo. It wasn't really the game per se, and it definitely wasn't multiplayer because that's not something that I do, even though pretty much everybody in the known world does. For me, the best part of the Halo franchise has always been the story. Of course, that doesn't rule out the BFG, but, you know, when is it ever? In playing through 3 games that take a significant chunk out of your life when you do it, I found myself wanting to be in that story, wanting to know more about Master Chief and why he was the ultimate badass in the universe, and actually wanting to know more about John 117 before he was Master Chief, and how humanity in that story arc had been brought to the near point of extinction. So I played to find out. And I read the books to find out. And I listened to the novels and bought a couple action figures and stickers for my car. But we don't need to talk about that. That's completely different. And I'm not ashamed to admit, even through all of those stories, less so with the books, but especially the video games, I left them still somewhat kind of confused. Because you are playing a game and you're there for the action sequence and not necessarily, you know, you're not watching a movie, you're trying to play one, I guess, but there are going to be some plot holes left that you might have missed because you were, you know, taking fire from grunts and elites and the like. Even after playing through Halo 3, you need to stay until the end, the very end after the credits. Watch it if you haven't. You probably have. I still had questions because I'm a geek and want to know backstory. I will also admit to another thing. I listened to the Bungie Studios podcast. A bunch of game designers talking about Halo. All right, fine. For most normal people, not really a thing. It's actually really funny. They just go in and rag on each other for basically an hour. But prior to the game launch, you know, they doled out a little bit of information here and there. I'm not really big on message boards, so I was never big on their site. In one of those podcasts, though, I found out another Halo novel. I also found out it wasn't about the Master Chief. Generally something that wasn't too interested in, but I took a chance, and I'm glad I did. Joe Staten, one of the guys over at Bungie Studios who worked on the video game itself, and from what I've read, developed a lot of the canon behind the Halo franchise and the Halo universe, was tapped to write this book by Microsoft, or Bungie, when they were approached by Tor, who released Halo Contact Harvest. So what is Contact Harvest? Well, it's the story that happens before the story. Staten has gone through and created this backstory for the Halo universe that talks about the first contact between humanity and the Covenant, which is this alien race who hates us and wants us to die. But you find out why they hate us and want us to die. Not only is this probably the best written Halo book, Contact Harvest ends up being this really great standalone novel. If you're not familiar with Halo, the other books that came after it, the video games, you can actually pick this up and read it and still enjoy the story. It's dark, it's gritty, it's infinitely more realistic than the other books were, and it reads almost like part fiction novel, part history book. You get the backstory between the different Covenant races, how they feel about each other, and you do find out why they in fact hate us. It boils down to a story that's about desire and religion and power and deceit and all of these really human ideas, even though a lot of them are portrayed in the guise of aliens. The story of Halo Contact Harvest centers around the planet Harvest. Harvest is an agricultural world, and it's also one of the farthest human settlements from the core worlds in the Halo universe. Prior to the Covenant coming on the scene, there's a civil war going on between human factions who want to be left alone to rule themselves, and the UNSC, who is the governing body at the time. You follow a handful of Marines through an operation, and then you follow two of them as they're transferred to Harvest to help train their militia to fight against the insurgents. As they're doing this, the Covenant shows up in a quest for holy relics from the Forerunners. The Forerunners are the ancient civilization that came before, and they are the basis of the Covenant religion that has brought all of these alien races together. The planet Harvest is full of these Forerunner relics, and the Covenant set about trying to get them. That's really the bones of the story, and like I said, it's got a lot of history. It's very gritty, it's dark, it's not at all polished. The feeling that it gave to me was kind of like watching Star Trek Deep Space Nine, where everything wasn't quite as nice as it was on the Enterprise. And I realize I said that I was a Star Wars fan and not a Star Trek fan, but, you know, I watched. So there you go. If you dig Halo, if you liked playing the games, if you've read the books because you're a geek like me and have a UNSC sticker on the back of your car, I highly recommend the book to you, but you've probably already read it if you in fact have said sticker on your car. Anyway, Joe Staten, Halo Contact Harvest. Go get it, check it out, you'll dig it. And now, here's a promo. Hey, this is Joe, your host again, and right now I'm going to bring you my very own version of a non-promo promo for a podcast that I really, really like, and I think you'll enjoy it too if you're listening too on the podcast. So what am I babbling about? Well, it's called The Podcast Junkie Show, and you can find it at www.podcastjunkie.com. So what is The Podcast Junkie Show? Well, imagine this show before I put it out. In another Bob Ross happy accident kind of way, I ended up friending Podcast Junkie on Twitter long before, or depending on your point of view, long after I had launched on the podcast. As it turns out, we have almost the exact same show, except she talks about podcasts and only podcasts, and then plays a song, whereas I just babble incoherently about some stuff and then play a song. But seriously, it's a really good show. She hits on some really awesome podcasts that you can check out, not just podcast novels like I talk about, and she's been kind enough to let me continue doing what I'm doing without suing me for stealing her show. So if that's not a good enough reason for you to go listen to Podcast Junkie over at www.podcastjunkie, I don't know what is, but go listen anyway, because there's room on your iPod for both of us. And now we're back for the song, and I just kind of want to give you an introduction to this. Like I said in the intro, I just about fell out of my chair when I got an email from this guy. And since in the last piece we were talking about how I grew up with Star Wars, and I've kind of mentioned already that I'm a musician and a guitar player, I grew up listening to hair bands and guitar players and shredders and the whole guitar player world thing. And I was totally into all of the popular heavy hitters like Eddie Van Halen and Joe Satriani and Steve Vai. So in the 80s, there was this band called Danger Danger. And I remember seeing a video for one of their songs, and the first thing that caught my eye was their guitar player, because he had this crazy Kramer guitar that had this holographic finish on it, and it was insane. And after a while, that kind of faded from my mind, and we all moved on to other things. So I'm blown around YouTube, and I find this guitar video of this guy, and I'm just floored. It's him, bass player and a drummer, and they're playing this song, and at some point he stops and encourages the crowd to clap along and then clap faster, and the faster they clap, the faster he plays, and it's just mind-blowing. And I'll link to the video in the show notes so you can check it out if you're interested and if it's still, you know, up on YouTube, which I'm sure that it is. As it turns out, the guy's name is Andy Timmons. Andy Timmons was the guitar player in Danger Danger. Like I said, I lost track of Danger Danger after a while. I had heard Andy Timmons' name mentioned because he does a lot of guitar clinics with Ibanez, at least he used to, and, you know, I had never really heard him. Blown away. Totally, totally blown away. So this week, as technology turns against me, I fall back to Pandora, which was something that I had done about the same time I had found this video, and set up an Andy Timmons band channel. The first song that plays is a song by the Andy Timmons band called Resolution from their album Resolution. And I was just amazed. It had been quite a few months since I'd listened to the album. The track Resolution itself is by far one of my favorite instrumental guitar pieces of all time. Easy. For me, it just gives me this really huge emotional response. It makes me feel stuff, which I guess is the ultimate goal of all art, really. So for me, Andy Timmons, he hit it out of the park. So I'm having this evil technology day, and lo and behold, technology brings me back to Resolution and Andy Timmons. It was so unexpected, and it was just kind of like getting hit in the face with a board, really, that I went to his website. There's a contact me button. I clicked it, got his email address, and emailed him and said, "Hey, I do this podcast. I'd really like to play it." Not really thinking anything of it. I've had really good response from other people who I've contacted to try and play their music on the podcast. Some people, not so much. A lot of the bigger bands that I've tried to contact, not so much. You know, it happens. I didn't really put a lot of stock into it. Next day, I wake up in my inbox, reply from Andy Timmons saying, "Glad you liked it. Go ahead and play the song." Amazing. I mean, this guy is like my favorite guitar player now. Well, before. Well, especially now. I'm all fanboy now. Anyway, so he gave me permission to play his song, Resolution, from the Andy Timmons Band album Resolution, that you can find on iTunes and at his site, www.andytimmons.com. And you can find out more about Andy Timmons and the Andy Timmons Band on his website. For now, here's the song Resolution from Resolution by the Andy Timmons Band. Check it out, guys. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. And that was Resolution by the Andy Timmons Band from their album Resolution. And I'd like to thank Andy Timmons so very much for being the coolest guy out there and letting me play that song for you guys today. And his website that I mentioned before is, in fact, www.andytimmons.com. That's A-N-D-Y-T-I-M-M-O-N-S. And again, I'll link to that in the show notes so you can check it out.
The past never dies. It only sleeps. In a solitary station on the fringe of known space, the past is beginning to stir. And when it wakes, Crescent Station will be as the belly of the beast.
You call your father and you tell him there's something very wrong with this ship. Panic spoke up full now and it said, "Scream for your life, bitch!" So Marissa screamed. "We can't save her. We were wrong. We have to leave."
Crescent, a podcast novel by Phil Rossi. For more information, please visit www.crescentstation.net.
Jerry, I think there's someone in here.
Some places are far darker than deep space.
And that, my fine friends, is going to bring us to the end of On the Podcast, Episode 4. I'd like to dedicate this episode to Bob Ross and Happy Little Accidents. Hopefully this will mark the end of technology turning against me, although I highly doubt it. I hope you've enjoyed today's show, and I would again like to go all fanboy and tell you to go over to andytimmons.com and go check him out. It's kind of odd to shoot emails out there into cyberspace and then actually get a response from somebody who you really, really just don't expect to get responses from because they're guitar gods. But like I said before, I've also got some really good responses from other musicians who are pretty damn impressive themselves, and I'm going to feature them in upcoming episodes of On the Pod, so please come back and check those out. You won't be disappointed, I promise. I'm going to wrap this up with one more promo for Scott Sigler's Infected. Help him take over the world. It'll be a better place because it can't get any worse. Have a great week. See you soon.
On April 1st, 2007, Scott Sigler tried to take over the world.
What?
No, not the world.
It wasn't the world?
It was Amazon.
You're shitting me, right?
No.
I'm not reading that.
Just read it or we're getting the chicken scissors.
Fine.
On April 1st, 2007, Scott Sigler tried to take over Amazon.com. He succeeded. Now, on April 1st, 2008, Scott Sigler wants to take over the New York Times. And you can help. On or before April 1st, order your copy of Scott Sigler's Infected online at Amazon, Powell, Borders, Barnes & Noble, or Random House. And watch traditional publishing once again bow to the will of Scott Sigler. Damn dirty junkies. First the New York Times, and then the world. For more details, visit www.scottsigler.com.
You've been listening to On the Podcast, brought to you by onthepod.net. On the Podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works 3.0 license. If you have a band and would like your music played on the Podcast, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to email us at onthepod@gmail.com.